Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
patron Bill Mulligan joins us.
Awesome, Jim. I have something for him.
What's that?
Mad Love.
Okay, we are gathered here today.
Yes, we are.
Because we're going to a Nationals game tonight.
Yeah, we are.
We're recording this today, not as the listeners are hearing it. We're going to a Nationals game tonight, so we're all doing a little pre-game, instead of tailgating, recording.
Podcasting.
Yes, pre-game podcasting here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're hanging out at Mike Snyder's house.
Good Thanks, to see Mike. You guys. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, Mike.
And the man responsible for organizing this whole thing is Bill Mulligan.
Hey.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So, as it works out, we thought we'd do a little in-person recording because Bill is also a patron of the pod, and so, and he's local, and so let's get together, and he can pick the topic, and we can do that. And first off, I want to ask you guys, though, how are you feeling after last night's Nationals game?
The good thing is I saw the score and I just decided to watch the McCartney documentary. So I'm pretty happy that I invested my... I'm very sad to see our team being depleted in various fashions.
Yep.
So what happened for people who don't know? It was their worst loss ever or something?
It was the most runs that the Washington Nationals have ever given up. 24.
24.
Although
that's a lot.
I saw a suggestion on the internet which was to reduce the fraction and just view it as a 3-1 loss rather than a 24-8 loss.
I like that. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, but tonight we're hoping for better things.
We hope so. Either that or it might get rained out, which could give them a break.
Right. Okay, so as I mentioned, Bill gets to pick the topic. He came up with something I don't quite understand, so I'm going to let him explain it, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Sweet. Well, I'm not sure if I understand it either, but I'm not even sure how or when this came to me, but there's a group of songs, and there's a connection between them, and I want to see if you guys can suss out the connection, and then once we have done that, or once you have done that, we will discuss it.
Cool.
That's it.
That sounds fun.
Okay, so we have 10 song clips.
10 of them, although depending on how things go, we might skip a few. I might just turn over those cards and tell you what they are.
Okay. But,
so Bill sent me a file. I have 10 song MP3 files here to play. They are unmarked, so I don't know what the songs are. They're just numbered. I guess we'll start with number one. And the idea, as you said, as we listen to these different songs, we're thinking of what's the common thread
between the 10.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So is that it? Should we start?
Let's
go. Do this? Okay. All right. Song number one.
I know you don't know what I'm going through. Standing here looking at you.
So I'm sure you were all familiar with that. That's Hurt So Bad by Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will admit that I didn't realize that was a man singing. I thought it was a woman. But Little Anthony and the Imperials were a doo-wop R&B vocal group out of New York. They had 3 top 10 hits. In 1958, Tears on My Pillow. In 1964, Going Out of My Head, which also was done by, recorded later by somebody, I can't remember who, and in 1965, Hurt So Bad. So that's song number one. And now on to song number two.
Baby, you got me, I can't let go, baby, I can't.
Anybody know that one?
No.
I know the song. I don't know who's doing that version.
I'm not sure.
You don't know?
I've definitely heard it, but I don't think I can pinpoint the artist.
The artist is a woman named Evie Sands, who she was a blue-eyed soul singer, also from New York. She had a very interesting career, one that was filled with near misses. Her first, what was supposed to be her first big single, apparently a test pressing got stolen.
Wow.
And somebody took it to another artist, and they loved it so much that they, within 2 days, recorded it.
No way.
And pressed it, and that was a hit. That terrible. Was Take Me for a Little While by Jackie Ross.
Okay.
Was the one who did a hit. Apparently, Miss Ross was not involved, did not know what had gone on.
Oh, I see.
With the acquisition of the song. I Can't Let Go was her next hit, and because of all the rigmarole about the stolen first hit, she didn't, that didn't get much airplay. The Hollies, though, turned around and made a hit.
That's right. Know it from,
And then her next big song, or her next single, was a version of Angel of the Morning. But it got released, and then a week later, her label went bankrupt.
Wow.
So she had, she's a, an amazing voice. She's actually also a fairly accomplished guitar player.
Wow.
She was one of these people who it seemed like she was going to be the next big thing. But weird things just kept happening, and it just never happened for her.
Yeah.
She's still performing today, apparently.
Wow.
So,
how cool.
Evie Sands.
Wow. Evie Sands, and the name of the song was?
I Can't Let Go.
I Can't Let Go. Okay. I'm going to guess that stolen test pressings is not the commonality.
No, no, that's a good good thought, but that's not correct. Right. So, all right, number three. You guys will recognize this one.
There's a lot to learn for wasting time. There's a heart that burns. There's an open mind. Look out for my love. Look out for my love. Look out for my love. Look out for my love.
That's Neil Young.
That, of course, is Neil Young. Y'all are probably much more conversant with his works than I am. I'm not sure if that one was even a hit, but Neil Young from 1978, Look Out for My Love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody got any ideas yet what the connection is? I was afraid Patrick was going to get it three bars into the first song.
No.
So.
Well, so I have a couple options. I mean, obviously these are songs that got more known by it, someone else covering them, but I think Linda Ronstadt's covered at least two of these, and maybe the third one.
That's close. Go on to number four.
What is that song?
I know this song, but I don't...
I like it a lot.
Yeah, very cool song. Yeah. I can't tell you what the name of it is, though.
So, How Do I Make You?
Uh-huh.
The act was Billy Thermal.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that Billy Thermal... That there was a person on stage named Billy Thermal, but that was...
Kind of like Alice Cooper or something?
Yeah. Billy Thermal, though, was the band Billy Steinberg. Is that kind of the name right? Yeah, Billy Steinberg, who later wrote or co-wrote Like a Virgin by Madonna, True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, Eternal Flame by the Bangles, So Emotional by Whitney Houston, I Drove All Night by Roy Orbison,
Sweet.
I Touch Myself by Divinyls,
Whoa.
And I'll Stand By You by the Pretenders.
Wow, amazing.
That's a pretty wide variety of songs there.
A lot of sentence songs, I Will Do This, or I Did This, Anyway.
So they were not big enough that they made it out, But they were a LA power pop band in the late 70s, early 80s.
Very cool. Sound.
Yeah, very, very cool song.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could be on that Rhino DIY compilation or power pop. Yeah.
The next three, instead of playing them, I'll just tell you what they are. Two songs performed by Elvis, written and performed by Elvis Costello.
Okay.
Talking in the Dark and Party Girl.
Okay.
And then the third song was written by Elvis Costello, which is Girls Talk.
Mm.
These last three songs, so we'll skip over them. Jim's looks like he's got a thought forming there.
Well, I have one too, but I think you may have just screwed up my thought. I was going to hit the buzzer and say, these are songs that are originally sung, performed, or recorded by a man or woman and made popular by a performer of the opposite sex. But I think the Dave Edmunds, Elvis Costello stuff keeps me up there.
No, that's not it. But, well, you know what? That's not what I was thinking. No, because Evie Sands. So, no.
Yeah.
No. Why don't we play number 8? Now, these last three songs were not available on streaming. I actually had to capture the sounds off of YouTube videos.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
And now number 9 is by the same group.
This is the one about the girl. The girl who came to bed. Oh, but love came down like a hammer, then it blew her away. I'm sliding down, down, down. No place to put my
And our final song is also by the same group.
Wow.
Right, that final group was the Cretones, which was another new wave power pop group in L.A.
Yep.
Anybody have any guesses? I will say Mike was very close.
Was he? Okay.
These were all songs that later were covered by Johnny Cash on his American recordings.
No, not quite.
No, okay.
These are all songs that were once long-distance dedications by Casey Kasem on American Top 40.
That's probably true, but that's not what I was looking for. So,
what did Mike? Mike said covered by.
Well, first I said Linda Ronstadt.
Singers
sung
of
them
the opposite sex.
Then I said, yeah.
Well, Linda Ronstadt.
Be more specific.
Oh.
This is the album Mad Love.
Oh, it's the whole album. Oh, okay.
These are the 10 tracks
brilliant.
On the album Mad Love.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I haven't listened to that album in so long, but I did own it.
Mad Love is the last song. Yeah, right. Beautiful. Yeah. That is so cool.
So
wow.
So
hats off. That was beautiful, Bill.
Mad Love, which was her 1980 album. It was the 10th, her 10th studio album. It was like the 7th one in a row to go sell a million copies. There were several artists who in this time period seemed to be really influenced by pop and new wave in what they did. And she was no exception. Rather than her usual taking a song and making it hers, she really went to the material and adopted the, you know, the kind of the form and the energy of the material much more so than I think she ever did before.
Interesting.
And she made an album that was much more energetic and powerful than she ever had before. So
very cool.
Apparently her label Asylum was not thrilled with the idea because they're like, you sell millions of records.
Yeah. Where's
why,
the hits
why
here?
Screw with that? Yeah. But this hit number three and three of those songs ended up in the top 10.
I was going to say, I
or
bet
top 40,
the Linda Ronstadt versions would be like, oh, that's Linda Ronstadt right there. Yeah, absolutely. How cool. What a cool concept. That is really, really good.
Interestingly, the success of this album, and this was about the same time where she appeared on Broadway in Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah.
Those successes sowed the seeds that ended her pop career.
Really?
Because of those successes, she was able to get Asylum to greenlight two different vanity projects.
Right.
One
Nelson
was
Riddle.
A collection of torch songs
that was
backed
huge.
By Nelson Riddle.
Yep.
And the other was a collection of mariachi songs.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Those are both awesome successes as well.
And she did one more pop album, Get Closer. Hmm. But after that, she was basically done with a few exceptions with the pop world.
Wow.
This is one of my favorite albums.
Very cool. I was thinking, too, that there was some sort of Blondie thread that was going on, you know, like with the theme or something. But now that makes sense that it was those kind of American power pop, new wave kind of things. Yeah, absolutely.
And I mentioned that several artists were influenced by new wave in a way that I don't recall other genres having as much influence on the people who were at the top right before. But Glass Houses by Billy Joel, which is probably my favorite, had a very strong new wave stamp.
Got those jittery kind of guitars and everything to it.
And I tend to think, even though it was a few years later, Let's Dance also has kind of the same feel to for me.
Yeah.
So,
very cool. And this was 1980.
I didn't immediately know the album you were talking about, but as soon as I saw the cover art, I was like, I remember that.
I've got that album at home. Yeah.
It's a cool cover.
Yeah, even the cover was
It looks kind of new wave.
Yeah,
yes, for
exactly.
Sure.
Like somebody caught her going into a nightclub or coming out, right?
Yeah.
She's got that kind of look.
And the
torn
the font that they use is sort of
very cool.
With the period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost like it was written in lipstick or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
It's great.
Exactly.
That was really fun. So I love that.
So if I'm following,
let's do another one.
Following this correctly, so you know that was her move, was to sing cover songs and reinterpret. She was a great interpreter of other people's work.
And Sleep with the Eagles.
Well, that's a different move. Yeah, but so there are three songs here from the Cretones on this one album.
So it's a little hazy to try to figure out what happened, but apparently the Cretones were bopping around the LA club scene, and had signed a contract.
Right.
And they'd recorded an album right about the time that the record executives thought, no, this trend is over. So basically they had an album that the label didn't want to release.
Right.
But it was floating around in LA.
Kind of like in demo form.
Yeah. Somebody associated with Ronstadt got their a hand on it and found the song. And in fact, their guitarist, the Cretones, Mark Goldenberg, he plays guitar on
that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, that's very cool. That was really, really, that was great.
That was
good.
I liked that.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, her previous albums, as you know, as everybody knows, she doesn't write her own stuff. She does other works, other people's stuff, but she never seemed as contemporary as this.
Right.
You know?
Good point.
Which, when you're doing other people's work, it kind of makes sense. And all these songs, except for the first two were mid-60s.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But the rest of them were 78 to 80.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So even what she was picking from was very contemporary compared, you know, not Roy Orbison, which is, love Roy Orbison, but she wasn't reaching back into the 50s or the early 60s for anything this time, except for the first two that I mentioned.
It's interesting that I looked back here as we've been talking about it. I AllMusic said that her previous album had gone into the cutouts. And actually, I thought that was a pretty good album back in the U.S., living in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some good, I mean, she does a She does Allison from Elvis Costello on there. Muhammad's right. Radio is a great song, but it's interesting that she does have like When I Grow Old to Grow Old to. Let me start that over. Yep. When I Grow Too Old to Dream is definitely not in the flavor of these songs that's on the next album, and it's kind of like she's has one foot in the poppy. Almost country, which she does eventually go to with Emmy Lou and Dolly Parton down the road, but not quite have the bravery to go full into the new wave-ish music. And it's I didn't realize that album had gone. I didn't sell that well. But
well, and I think, Bill, you made a really salient point about her taking the songs previously, right, and really making them sound like Linda Ronstadt versions of whatever these songs were. But in this case, maybe they weren't as well known, or you know, maybe except for one or two, she could be closer to what the original demo form might even be, right? And just sort of become a singer for those kind of that kind of music. It's really interesting. It's great.
Great singer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Key turning point in her career too, which I didn't really realize. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Marvel.
This is fun.
Well, just let us know next time we're going to play this, Bill.
How do I want to get this Cretones album now. Exactly. How do I get that? It's not on Spotify, right?
Actually, I have it on vinyl.
Me too. I have one called Snap, Snap, Snap. Is that the one?
I think that's the one. Yeah, they did two albums.
Yeah,
but
I have one of them or something. Check my Discog store, folks. It might be for sale.
Like I said,
the price just went up, though.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, very cool. Thank you, Bill.
Excellent. Thanks,
now,
Bill.
Now, do you have other things like this, you know, in your mind floating around that we could do this something like this again?
I try not to dwell on what's in the back of my mind too much. So.
All right, I'll take that as a yes. All right. Okay, this was a lot of fun.
That was really cool.
One more thing, Bill. I noticed you sent a lot of emails in response to our Perfect Pop Week that we just had, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so are those record? I haven't looked at them yet. Are those recordings where you talk about songs that you really like?
Yes, they are.
Okay,
great.
I think we have enough. We could do a whole Bill Mulligan Perfect Pop Week.
Let's do it.
I got about another half dozen that I haven't actually recorded yet. So.
All right. So
fantastic. We'll
I know. That's exciting because obviously the guy knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. That's right up his alley.
All right. Let's get out of here. Let's go to the ball game.
That was fun.
All right.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Bill Mulligan.
And I'm Mike Schneider.
And we'll talk to you all later. I tried again to drive myself insane. I talk to myself, but I don't listen. I found out what I was missing. I miss talking in the dark without you.
I'm not a big Billy Joel fan, although I mainly say that to annoy my sister.